I once read about a unique opportunity that was being offered at the site of the 1986 Chernobyl nuclear accident. You know, the same place that had released deadly radiation throughout the area. Apparently, the Tourist Bureau was inviting travelers to tour the city of Chernobyl, including the radioactive waste dumps and the burnt nuclear reactor. All the visitors would be given a free radiation test before and after the tour. And if medical treatment was needed, it would be provided at no additional cost. Isn't that nice of them? Naturally, most people would think twice before jumping at an offer like that. We would consider it foolish to go to a place that would jeopardize your life, your health. And yet every day, people are making choices that are hazardous not only to their physical condition, but even more so to their spiritual health, and thinking nothing of it. In a moment, we're going to continue our focus that we've been looking at the last couple of times in the book of Genesis. You know, I've been following the story of Abraham and how this man of faith had responded to God. But then he ran into trouble. But despite some serious problems, God still loved him and found in him something worthy of redeeming. It was a great story we've looked at, but there's more to the story, and there always seems to be. And that's kind of where I want to pick up today. As it turns out, it wasn't just Abraham who had been going around, first leaving Ur of the Chaldees, then traveling hundreds of miles northeast, going down into Canaan, then into Egypt, then back into Canaan. Along with Abraham was his nephew, Lot. Abraham sort of adopted Lot when Lot's father, Abraham's brother, had died. And so there was Abraham and Lot and their families, and they've been going around all over the place, doing some strange things at times, at least Abraham was for sure. And they were great travel companions, and things were working out okay. Except it wasn't just Abraham and Lot and their people. They also had tons of livestock. I mean, these guys were serious into livestock. They were the ranchers, you might say. And it seemed that wherever Abraham went, and whatever he did, he was acquiring more. He was being blessed. Even though he did some pretty radical and foolish things, he was still on the receiving end, it seemed. Nothing was going wrong for him. And Lot, his nephew, was along for the ride, and he was doing pretty good too. And you'd think that would be great news and everybody would be happy and carry on, but we run into a problem. Genesis chapter 13, beginning at verse 5. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling between Abraham's herdsmen and the herdsmen of Lot began. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time. So Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me, or between your herdsmen and mine, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Well, Lot looked up and and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out towards the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Well, you know what happens when you have too many people and too much livestock in one place. Sooner or later, you're going to run into trouble. Someone's going to step on somebody's toes, and there's going to be hurt feelings, and there's going to be some words that are shared and maybe not so nice ones, and trouble will brew eventually. And it seems like the servants of Abraham and the servants of Lot were not getting along terribly well together because they were all just too tight. They needed a bit more. They needed more space. The obvious solution was that they needed to go their separate ways. Well, Abraham, being the older, he should have had the first choice. But he graciously, very graciously, offered Lot the first choice of the land. And he promised he'd go, he'd be happy with whatever was left. That's pretty good of Abraham. It's about time that he's not being selfish. I mean, we've seen the last couple of weeks how he was rather selfish in some areas, but now he's finally getting things straightened out. And he offers Lot, his nephew, you look around and you take whatever you like and I'll go with what's left. What a great attitude. Well, Lot took a look and he saw the green and fertile land of the Jordan. I mean, it was the best real estate around, as Shirley would say, location, 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 right? And the location that Lot had his eye on was like the garden of the Lord. Oh, that sounds so good. So he did what most people would do. He packed up his belongings. He kissed Abram goodbye. And he headed for that nice-looking, lush area of land. And verse 12 concludes that Lot pitched his tents near Sodom. I mean, here's the deal. You'd be foolish to pass up, right? It's the chance of a lifetime. He's got all kinds of flocks and herds and servants, and all the best of the land was before him as far as the eye could see. He had everything nailed down. Why, Lot was probably thinking, you know, I might buy myself a caravan, not with four wheels, but with four legs, and tour the countryside, sit back, relax, retire. But as Lot would find out, there's more to location than what meets the eye. You see, Sodom had its problems. And surely Lot should have known what Sodom was like before he moved next to it. I mean, a town like that had a reputation. You know, you would know what it was like. But when you are infatuated with thoughts of prosperity, you don't always make the right choice. And what seemed to be the most advantageous location from a human perspective and from a business mind turned out to be a disaster. At first, we've seen that Lot had moved near Sodom. He pitched his tents near Sodom. But if we go further, the next chapter, chapter 14, verse 12, we find that it wasn't long before he was actually living in Sodom. There's a progression here and an important distinction. At first, Lot seems to have kept his distance. But over time, he moved in to the city. Well, you'd say, well, what's the big deal? But that city was a city that was known for its wickedness. There was a time when Lot would have never tolerated the wickedness of Sodom. But it would seem that he slowly got used to the idea. At one time, Lot would have been alarmed at what he had seen in Sodom. I'll never want to be a part of that, he probably said. And yet in time, he accepted it and quite possibly embraced it. We can call it desensitization. We can call it acclimatization, accommodation, compromise. But one thing for sure, Lot was heading into trouble. He may have moved to Sodom, near Sodom, with good intentions, but it wasn't long before he settled in with the people. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 tells us how he sat at the gate, which kind of represents the place of authority of the city. And it just seems that although he never dreamed it can happen to him, little by little, he became one of the guys. And when you see something and you hear something and you encounter something so many times, after a while, you start thinking it's not that big of a deal. And yet, Sodom was well known for its homosexuality and all kinds of violent sexual behavior. Choices are important. Where there is sin, there will be consequences. And we know from the rest of the story that the consequences for the city of Sodom was destruction. It did not end well for them. Everything would be destroyed. Nothing would be left but a cloud of smoke. Fortunately for Lot, by Abraham's intervention, Lot was spared along with his daughters. But Lot did end up losing his wife, his sons-in-law. Lot ended up in a cave. He ended up drunk. He ended up getting both of his daughters pregnant. Not exactly the legacy that you want to leave behind. And what began with high hopes and good intentions and the desire for a comfortable life ended in what would be seen as a tragedy. High hopes and big dreams turned into such devastation and pain and loss. The future that once looked bright took a very dark turn because of some dangerous choices that were made. Perhaps Lot thought, I'll be careful. That'll never happen to me. But it did. And in the end, he lost his property, his dreams, his friends, much of his family, and certainly his self-respect. And as tragic as that is, it's important to note that it wasn't simply a string of bad luck. Lot was not the victim of circumstances. He was the victim of his choices. Decisions that at the time seemed small and insignificant took him in a direction that would have him face severe consequences. And the truth that I want to encourage us to see this morning is simply that the choices we make today will have consequences for tomorrow. The direction that you take will make a difference to where you end up. And if we are making decisions based on our thoughts, our feelings, our ambitions, and they are contrary to the Word of God, we are heading in very dangerous ground. It might not happen all at once, but little by little, the safeguards of our spiritual life are eroded until they are finally destroyed and there is nothing left. The good news is that it's not too late to turn around, as it was not too late for Lot. We've all made poor choices, even devastating choices. In fact, your life might be so filled with questionable choices that you wonder that if it's even possible to get back on the right track. And if that's you, I want you to consider this, that after everything that Lot went through and all the poor choices he made, in 2 Peter chapter 2, Lot is called righteous. Kind of like Abraham. Abraham, who, you know, is so well known for being a giant of the faith, and yet last week we looked at how he stumbled again and again and again, and still God had a work for him and a purpose for him, and God redeemed him. God seen something in Abraham that was worthy of being redeemed. And so also it appears for Lot. Lot, who lived for himself, heard his uncle, made his daughters pregnant, was later considered righteous. Imagine that. That is mind-blowing, but that is God. That is how God works in the life of someone who is willing to humble themselves and come to God and say, God, I've messed up. Somewhere along the line, I've messed up. And I need you. And I need to get right on the right track. And it would appear that somewhere, we don't know where, Lot must have turned his life around. And my friends, I wanted to say to you, if your life needs to turn around, God is the one who can do it. But you have a part in it as well. Our part is to begin by being careful about the choices we make in the first place. If we find that we've embraced dangerous decisions, if we find that we've been caught on the road taking us away from God, the time to look to God, who can forgive us and who can set us on the right course, is now. Is today. Today is the day of salvation. There is hope. There is plenty of hope, but the road to recovery begins with repentance, turning around. And so I want to encourage you. I'm not here to judge anyone. That's not my place. But if there are choices you've made in your life that have been harmful, I want to encourage you to turn them over to God. Or if you've been grappling with something today and you're not entirely sure which direction to take, and maybe you're embracing something that you know is contrary to the Word of God, I want to encourage you to ask for God to direct you, to help you. God will speak to you. He will speak to you in that still small voice deep within. And I know one thing he would be saying to you. He would be saying to you, as he said to Abraham, as he said to Lot, as he said to me and to many others, he will say to you, I love you. I died for you. Won't you come back to me? And my friends, I want to encourage you, if you need to come back to the Lord, or if you've been grappling with decisions and choices that maybe are questionable, I want to encourage you to bring them to God. Let him direct you. There is nothing that God would say to you to do that is contrary to the word of God. Let us be men, women, youth, and children of the word of God. Let us turn our eyes to the Lord. Let him redeem us. Let him work in us. There is something within you that is worthy of being redeemed. And that's the image of God that is within you. God wants to redeem us. God wants to change us. God wants to put us on the right track. My friends, it's up to us to call on the name of the Lord. Would you do that as we pray? Our Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you today and we recognize how much we need you, that you are our hope, that you are our salvation, that if we do things the way that makes sense in our mind and what looks good and right by our sight, Lord, that we can go astray. We can settle in the wrong direction. But Father, by your grace, by your love, by your call upon us, Lord, your desire is to redeem us, to set us on a firm ground, to set our eyes upon you. And Lord, I pray that this morning, if there's anyone here who has been struggling with some choices in their life, not exactly sure in the direction that they are headed, maybe they know they've been going on the wrong way. I don't know, but I pray, Father God, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to us today. And help us, Lord, to come to you in confession and say, Lord, I need you. I am lost. I am confused. I've been going in my own direction. And I want to turn to you. I want you to lead me. I want you to guide me. I want you to show me the way. I want you to redeem my life. I want you to take me. And Lord, if there is any such prayer happening even now, I know, Lord God, that you would delight in answering it. And Father, I pray for your grace, your presence, and your peace upon our lives as we look to you in Jesus' name. Amen.